This evening we continue our studies in the book of Proverbs, and we'll be considering Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. It's printed for you in the bulletin. Let's read that. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak of noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and fulfilling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ancient ages ago, I was set up, at the first, from the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he made the earth with its fields and the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Well, here again we have the concept of wisdom personified. Lady Wisdom speaks. And this is her second appeal at length. The first one was at the end of chapter 1. And this is now her third description of herself. Unlike in her first address, chapter 1, what follows is not so much a stern rebuke as a character sketch of wisdom herself. It is set out in a clear-cut contrast to the adulterous woman, the strange woman of chapter 7. And again, as I mentioned, we have an obvious personification here. You have an outline in your in the bulletin. We basically have three main headings. We have the public introduction of Lady Wisdom, verses 1 to 3. Then we have a lengthy speech of Lady Wisdom, verses 4 to 31. Then there's a practical conclusion, verses 32 to 36. Notice with me, first of all, the public introduction, verses 1 to 3. She begins in verse 1 with questions to gain attention. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? So, Lady Wisdom is taking the initiative. She's not silent, okay? She seeks to gain the attention of her audience. That's followed in verses 2 and 3 by she goes to places where she can gain an audience. I mean, she's not sitting on a top of a mountain meditating somewhere where it takes you 3 days to hike up there. Nothing like that at all. No. Notice where she is. She's on the heights, at the crossroads, at the city gates, at the entrance of the portals. These are prominent locations where people would be trafficking back and forth and back and forth. She's not confined to the academic classroom where only a few students might be present, nor is she in the sacred halls of a temple, lofty temple, somewhere where there would be an even smaller audience. No. On the contrary, Lady Wisdom wants to attract all who would come to her and to be accessible to all. While going over this, my mind went to the very public appeal we have of a lawyer in the state of Alabama. I looked and he has 2,500 billboards beside the interstates. And, of course, we have advertisements on TV and he wants us to call him. How much better, Lady Wisdom, summoning us. So there's her public introduction with questions, soliciting a response, going to prominent places where people can find her. Notice the second main heading, we have this speech, verses 4 to 31. And she begins with, she says that my instruction is true and valuable, verses 4 to 11. She begins with an open invitation, verses 4 and 5. It's given to all people in general, verse 4. It's and some specific people in verse 5. She calls to all men, to the children of man, verse 4. And then she addresses the simple ones, the fools, in verse 5. She's inviting people to recognize her prudence and good sense, verse 5. Not only does she have an open invitation, she follows that up with compelling motives. You know, why should we heed her invitations? Verses 6 and 11 tell us why. She deserves to be heard. She deserves to be followed because her words are flawless. Verses 7 to 9. She utters truth. Wickedness is an abomination to her lips. Her words are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked about them. they are all straight to him who understands, so forth. Her words are flawless. That's a motive why we should heed her. But also her speech is priceless. Notice verses 10 and 11 where she speaks of, take what I say instead of silver. What I could teach you instead of gold. What I have to say is far more worth than jewels. Again, compelling motives to listen, to take heed to her. She seeks to draw people to herself. Her instruction is true and valuable. Also, she follows that up in her speech. She says her benefits are power and wealth. Verses 12 to 21. Notice her personal qualities in verse 12 and 13. She says, I dwell with prudence. I find knowledge. She says, I have counsel, and so forth. But she does say along that line that there are things that she hates. How about that? Pride, arrogance, way of evil, verse 13. Perverted speech, I hate. She has a moral revulsion about those things. Now we might say it makes it sick at her stomach. Pride and arrogance, perverted speech. At the same time, though, she possesses righteousness. Verse 18, yes, enduring wealth and righteousness. Also, first part of verse 20, I walk in the way of righteousness, in paths of justice. Her benefits are power and wealth. She even goes so far to say, verses 15 and 16, by me, kings reign, rulers decree. By me, princes rule, nobles govern. It's not just to the common people, but even those in authority, those that have earthly power, they rule from her. Well, her benefits are power and wealth. She follows that up again, making her speech. She follows it up, verses 22 to 31, that her ancestry is ancient and very distinguished. We're not surprised now, after this introduction, to read almost an autobiography of Lady Wisdom. In verses 22 to 26, she emphasizes that she was there when things were made. The very dawn of creation. She says, I was there. I was there. I was present. Every day of creation, I was there. Wisdom was at the very beginning, even before the earth was created. She follows that up, verses 27 to 31, by saying, she focuses upon her involvement with the very creation process itself. Now, what follows in verses 27 to 31 is not a technical description of the process of creation. No, we find that elsewhere. Rather, what we have here is an allusion to Genesis 1, and we are being told wisdom was present during all of those events. Everything that took place in the days of creation, wisdom was there. An eyewitness again. So the reasoning is this. If wisdom had a part in creation, then she should be present if human endeavors, large or small, are to succeed. That's the argument here. If the very universe was made in accordance with the principles of wisdom, then it is utter foolishness to ignore her or to live in a way that's contrary to her principles. It's rather forceful, an argument. She then concludes this part of her speech in verses 30 to 31. Notice, she speaks of, she says, then I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of man. We can almost hear the laughter. Lady Wisdom rejoicing in the created process, the creation itself. Now, it's not the laughter of children's play. It's certainly not scorn at all. But rather, it is a deep satisfaction, even celebration of the craftsmanship and the beauty of the created world. She says, I was there, and I was celebrating in every day. Well, then we come in the third place to the practical conclusion, verses 32 to 36. Okay, after this lengthy description of Lady Wisdom, what we have are renewed invitations and ruling motives. What are the invitations? Verse 32 to 33. And now, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Do not neglect it. So as she concludes, there is a renewed urgency to pay attention to what she has to say. And so we have a series here in these two verses of imperatives. And the way the language of the Bible, it's a pleading. Don't get hung up on that it's a command. Do this, do this, do this. There's a pleading element in this. And it's communicated with the imperatives. Pleading with us. Listen, hear, be wise, don't neglect. Then she bolsters that invitation by hinting of the positive consequences. Notice, verse 34, blessed. Blessed is the one who listens to me. So that's her conclusion. She ruling motives. She says, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. She's specifying that we must heed her, pay attention, listen. Rather than paying attention simply to avoid punishment, no, rather to delight in wisdom and follow all that she has to say. You know, how many times in our lives, you know, growing up, we obeyed simply because we knew what would happen if we didn't. You know, we want to avoid those consequences. Okay, all right. She's pleading with us to do more than that. She's pleading with us to delight in her ways. And she says, I was there when everything was made. I have something to offer of lasting value. Then notice again, she says, whoever finds me finds life, verse 35, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me, what do they love? They love death. They love death. All right. Well, how do we go from here? Proverbs 8 to the Lord's Supper. And y'all, it's in the best sort of way because the New Testament presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who walked in wisdom, was not only there when at the creation itself, but when he came as a human being, he walked in the way of wisdom all his life. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 42, he said, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and will condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Remember that passage in 1 Kings? Behold, Jesus says, someone greater than Solomon is here. The Son of God himself. Paul would say, Colossians 2 and verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, Christ in whom are hidden, what? You know that? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're found in no other person, no other place. They're found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to remember him as we celebrate his sacrament this evening. Will you pray with me? God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for this means of grace. and ask that you would teach us to see in them your loving purposes and the joy and strength of our souls. Father, especially, please remind us that in Christ we are welcomed here. You invite us. You have prepared a feast for us. And though we know in our consciences we are unworthy to sit down as guests, yet we rest upon the merits of your Son and clothe ourselves in his righteousness. Please, by your Spirit, enliven our faith rightly to discern and to apprehend and lay hold of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.